does burlesque. In the same episode, they did a fucking D&D's are geeks. And I was like, hey, how about you come at me? I've been standing up for you lately. Don't come at me like that.
I think they aren't coming at you. I think it's because that's what he does.
But I also think it's like, we know what's out there, guys. Wink, wink. We see it.
It's like we know who loves me.
No, that's my stage name.
Well, do you see every time somebody posts that picture of him doing burlesque, I post a picture of me doing Jon Snow.
You're amazing.
Have we been recording this whole time?
No. I started recording like a few minutes ago because I want a good intro. Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of Revolution Rosies in April, where we celebrate Vivian Vega's birthday. She's turning the big 3-0, which is fucking insane to me because I met this woman when she just turned 21. You're a little bit baby.
I was an actual infant.
You were an actual infant.
And now I'm doing Jon Snow burlesque numbers.
Now you are doing Jon
Snow. Happy Game of Thrones month.
Happy Game of Thrones month. So, by the way, if you've never listened to this podcast before, go back and start from the beginning. But also, we're a podcast about badass women in history. And I don't know, we just talk about badass women. Yeah. Who doesn't want to hang out for that?
And so, this month, or this year, our first year, we just started in August. Thank you for joining us.
Also, I know we sound real profesh, though. I know that so you wondered. You didn't think it was our first year, but it is.
It is. We're applying for festivals, so if you want us to be at your festival, maybe, like, say so. And
I'm
we will totally
blinking my eyes at you.
And we will totally apply. We will spend that $20 to get in. A little background, in case you didn't listen to my episode, which, please, for the love.
Go back.
We're on episode 2 of the month.
Yeah.
Get on it.
We've done, like, a lot of them.
We have, like, a series, and you need to think about it.
You should listen to us, because you should get to know us before you listen to our podcast.
Because we're all over the place. And it's like we're acting like we're professionals. Like, we deserve to be in this chatty zone, and we don't.
No.
But we do. It's letting people into our lives. So this is my birth month. And why? Okay, I described what I wanted for my birth month the last episode. So why don't you describe what you think that I want from my birth month episode?
So, for Vivian Vega's birth month episode, she went to the nitty and the gritty, but the pop art and the funky and the turning part in pop culture in our society in the U.S., she turned to the 60s. And that's one of her favorite time periods, but it's not California 60s. It's not like flower in your hair 60s.
Oh, it's not singer-songwriter 60s.
No, it is fucking New York. Fucking be scared. Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
It's smoggy.
It's smoggy. It's smoggy. It's New York City in the 60s. And we are aiming for that. And we're talking about Factory Girls.
The Factory Girls, baby. The
we are,
Factory
they
Girls,
were some
baby.
Bad-ass bitches. But,
I've even got a playlist set aside for this that I'm going to post for people.
Yes.
So we had an extra week.
We did
because we recorded this. And then had to re-record this, but that's okay because I compiled a playlist for you guys to listen to either before or after you listen to the podcast.
I would highly suggest listening to Vivian's playlist because she has really good taste in music.
Thanks, baby.
You're welcome.
Maybe I should start doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Would that be something you guys are interested in?
Like, if you would be interested in it, please let us know.
Yeah, totally let us know. Comment and let us know because I will totally compile a playlist, a Spotify playlist for every single episode.
So, Vivian, guess what happened this weekend
in
the news? Fucking Ohio sucked more than it normally does.
I think I know why, but could you tell me why this black hole and pit of hell sucks so bad?
Because we passed the heartbeat bill.
The heartbeat bill.
What that means is that women have to know before they even miss their period, most of the time, because for fuck's sake, I was 2 weeks late on my period and wasn't pregnant, just happened to be 2 weeks late because that's what periods do.
I have endometriosis, so tell me about
it. My body doesn't tell me whether or not I'm pregnant on purpose for some reason. But we have to know before we even miss our period whether or not there's a child inside of us for us to be able to delete that pregnancy. So, Control, Alt, Delete.
So I just saw somebody post a status that said, so if your 11-year-old daughter got raped and she had had a period before, I started my period when I was 9. We've discussed this before. Yeah. If your 11-year-old daughter has had a period, she gets raped on her way to school.
She
on her way
home from school. She's scared.
She doesn't tell you because she's scared. She's ashamed. She doesn't know what to do. She's pregnant. She has to deliver that baby.
Okay, so let's not even talk about like a living baby. Let's talk about the fact that if you're a woman who's been diagnosed with the fact that the child that you were expecting to have is growing inside of you is not going to survive outside of
and
your
you
womb.
And you might die.
You might also die because you're growing something that's not going to live. You have to
carry it
full term and give birth to it. Where somebody was like, well, why don't you just give birth to it? Okay, well, would you like someone touching your pregnant belly to a child you already know is dead and saying, when is it due? What's the name?
Yeah.
When somebody gives a late-term abortion, it's not because they fucking want to abort a child they've been waiting on. No, it's because of medical reasons. And fuck you, get out of my vagina. Get out of their vagina. Get out of their lives.
But why don't you tell us the good part about it? Ohio fucking blows, but
Illinois has a sign outside that says, welcome to Illinois, where you can have a safe and legal abortion. So ladies,
Illinois,
when shit goes bad, go to the one state that fucking supports you, because most of the states around it don't.
I'm telling you right this fucking second, I'm not even kidding you. My husband and I are planning on a trip to take our son to Chicago. He's never been to Chicago. He loves big cities. It is from where we are, it's 5.5 hours. So if you are in the Midwest,
yeah,
Chicago is fucking rad.
And it's gorgeous.
A little dangerous, but sightseeing galore. Pizza, listen, if you need an abortion, ask the Rosies here. We will fucking take you.
We will drive you. Do you need a drive? Do you need a drive?
Let's do brunch.
Do brunch.
Do brunch. Do pizza.
Brunch and abortions.
Brunch, abortion, pizza.
Anyways, let's actually move into the episode.
Okay.
So we are talking about factory women. Then factory girls.
Factory girls. They were women.
Sorry, I'm real mad. Anyway.
But they were, I mean, the cool thing to be was a girl. Factory girl. You're the it girl. You're the factory girl. You're the girl. 60s are a different time.
Baby. It's a different time.
It's a different time, baby.
Don't you worry about it. Speaking of different times, baby, I'm going to bring you guys back to Miss Candy, darling. The muse.
We're going to get another drink.
So, I'm going to get started on my person.
Remember when I assigned you people?
You assigned me people?
I said, hey, you should either do this person or Nico.
Yes. And I was like, you know what? I'm fucking doing Candy, darling.
Yes, you fucking are.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with quoting, and it's going to be real cheesy.
And what was the very first thing I showed you?
Her
deathbed picture.
The picture I used for, okay, so if you guys don't know me enough, you know that, like, at the beginning of most of my notes, I put a picture of them, so I can, like, imagine the person as I'm reading their notes.
100%.
And Candy brought a photographer in for her deathbed because she knew she was going to die when she died. So let's get into Candy, darling.
Oh, she's perfect.
She's great.
She is perfect.
First of all, she was the mid-century muse. Yes. And I'm going to start off with a cheesy quote.
She's like the Venus in the half shell, but like of now.
Of now. So Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everyone's darling. But she never lost her head, even when she was giving head. Hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Yes. So Candy Darling was born November 24th, 1944, to Teresa Slattery, a bookkeeper at Manhattan's Jockey Club, and a violent alcoholic, Jim Slattery. So her early life was spent in Massapequa Park, Long Island, with her mother after she divorced that piece of shit father.
Thank God.
Yes. At 16 years old, Candy dropped out of school after being relentlessly bullied, and a group of boys tried to fucking lynch her.
Oh, Long Island, huh?
Right? So fucking rich and full of culture. She finally like came out to her mother.
Okay, but like, okay, I'm sorry. Let's just reverse just a little bit. She
44.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yep. That makes sense. Okay.
So lynching was still a thing
in the 50s.
No, 100% still a thing. Burning crosses on people's front yards.
I mean, that's still a thing now.
So, after she was almost lynched by her fucking classmates, she finally came out to her mother when she was confronted by her mother, because her mother was, like, confronted by a neighbor that said, your child's been cross-dressing.
What?
Yeah, and they said that they had seen her going into a local gay bar called the Hayloft. First of all, honey, you're going into that
Yeah, who told you about this?
Yeah, why are you going to the Hayloft?
Who told you about the Hayloft, huh?
Where are you going? She told her mother to sit and wait at the table when she left the room. So she was like, okay, Mom, I'm sorry. Just like wait here, sit down. And then she left and she reappeared fully in drag. And her mother later told a friend that I knew then that I couldn't stop Jimmy. Candy was just too beautiful and talented.
Yeah. Let me tell you how much... Okay, so I told Casey about this story a little bit.
Because it's such a beautiful story. Candy would take a cab from Long Island to the train station just to avoid stairs. So it's not like her life wasn't hard. She just was like, no.
I'm just going to avoid it.
Fuck you. I'm not dealing with you.
Here's how I think Candy did it. You don't deserve to see me. Because so that seems like her attitude, doesn't it?
Yeah. So she would take the cab from Long Island to the train station to avoid stairs and confrontations from walking. And then she would go to Manhattan. And she...
Where
she belonged. So she took her name. She took the name Hope Slattery in like 63-64 after an off-Broadway actress who was a roommate of hers, Hope Stansberry. From there, she went through a couple of offshoots of Hope to Candy, settling on the surname of Darlene after friends called her Darlene so much that it finally just stuck. Like, Darlene.
That makes
Darlene.
Sense. Darlene. And knowing, like, even Edie's background and how much they just said, Oh, Darlene.
And she's like, I am a Darlene. Thank you.
And it's like, oh, I know.
So, in the summer of 66, she met her lifelong friend, Jeremiah Newton, with whom she would live in Manhattan and Brooklyn until her dun-dun-dun death. She does
Guess die. What? Vivian really likes death.
Vivian likes people that don't make it into her 50s.
No. Listen, every person I've ever looked up to has died early. Doesn't necessarily mean I am because I'm making it to 30, but...
You're making it to 70. Because, bitch, you're going to be on my front porch with me. We're going to be old and ugly together.
We're going to be drinking these virtue cider rosés.
We will. We'll be old and ugly together. It'll be so cute.
And our kids are going to be like, fucking go to death already. And we're going to be like, not yet. No,
because your fucking music is shit.
Your music is shit. You need to listen to The Cure. Get at The Cure! Have you not even listened to Nirvana yet?
My grandchildren are little fucks.
Ah, these assholes listening to mumble rap. I love them so much.
They're little fucks.
They're cute as shit. Okay, but I am going to make a playlist for this.
Okay, so before they met in 1967, Darlene saw Andy Warhol at the 10th of Always, which was an after-hours club.
Yeah.
Darlene was with Jackie Curtis, who invited Warhol to a play that she had written and directed called Glamour, Glory, and Gold, starring Darlene as Nana Noonan.
Nana Noonan!
Nana Noonan?
Nano Nano.
Also, Morgan Mindy!
Yeah, I know. That's why I said
fucking
it.
Nano Nano. Morgan Mindy. Also, young Robin Williams, so hot.
Old Robin Williams, I would still so do. Hot. Robin Williams. But let me tell you a little bit about Jackie.
Okay.
Jackie's also mentioned in that song you quoted at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So Jackie was a confusing character. Jackie was also Jack, but Jack dressed like James Dean.
Okay, so Jackie was
an androgynous motherfucker.
Love it.
Yeah, so Jackie went Jackie and Jack.
I'm extremely femme, but I wish I could be more androgynous because I fucking love
androgynous. That's why I cut my hair. Because my husband is so androgynous. When he shaves, he could be a beautiful woman. I love androgynous men. David Bowie is the reason I married my husband. But I'm
going to leave that in just so Casey hears it.
He knows. Jackie Curtis mostly identified as a male.
Okay.
However, and I could be misquoting this by the Max's Kansas City book I read. High on Rebellion. It was written by the owner, Mickey, his wife. Anyways, so she was there the start to the end. Anyways, so long story short, Jackie was a confusing character because nobody ever knew if they were coming as, and they wasn't quite there yet.
Right. And if, and transgender wasn't there yet because they talked about
transvestite.
Yeah.
And so Jackie was basically one of the, I wouldn't say first, but like the first famous, quote unquote, famous, right, they, them, in my opinion.
So they were in a play that Jackie Curtis had written and directed called Glamour, Glory, and Gold, starring Darling as Nana Noonan, and a young Robert De Niro, who played 6 parts in the play. Because let's just think about Robert De Niro living in the whole, like, Warhol world, which is
if
crazy.
If it wasn't for that, he wouldn't have gotten Taxi Driver.
In all honesty. So
seriously.
Taxi Driver. Warhol cast Darling in a short comedic scene in Flesh with Jackie Curtis and Joe D'Alessandro. After Flesh, Darling was cast in a central role in Women in Revolt, which was actually protested by feminist, because they thought it was like a mockery of feminism, and Darling thought that was hilarious, which it is hilarious to mock a trans woman being in a central role in a joking feminist manner, like
Women in Revolt.
Was first shown at Los Angeles Filmex as Sex. It was just Sex, and it was later shown as Andy Warhol's Women, but it's known as Women in Revolt.
So, Hollywood Lawn was also in that movie, and she is another one that he basically gave a nickname to. So, pardon. Hollywood Lawn wasn't obviously Hollywood Lawn, because why would anybody in a normal life be Hollywood Lawn? Hollywood Lawn? Nobody's name is that. Anyway, so
it
he
sounds
kind
like
of
a perfectly reasonable name to me, but I've been in the burlesque business
for too long. We're broken. Anyway, so Andy Warhol created names for all these people. And so, like, Candy created her own, which is
like
great.
Hollywood Lawn.
And then there was International Superstar, and then there was, like, Velvet, and, like, he, like, would create their names. But anyways, I thought that the woman that shot him was in the movie, but she's not.
James.
But I think she is. I think she's a minor role. But the person who shot Andy Warhol, I'm fairly certain. I'm like, I'm going to say 75% certain was in that movie.
So,
also,
Candy appeared in many indie films, as well as a few more mainstream roles, such as Clute with Jane Fonda and Lady Liberty with Sophia Loren, two people
such
I love.
Such a babe.
However, after a campaign for the lead role in Mira Breckinridge, which, who's heard of that movie?
Nobody.
Ended in rejection, Candy left her Hollywood dreams bitter. She returned, because, of course, Hollywood in the 1960s wasn't ready for a trans woman. So she returned to the stage and in a bilingual production called The White Whore and the bit player La Estrella y La Moja. Candy's character, known only as the White Whore, was based on Marilyn Monroe.
Obviously.
Right. So.
She is a Marilyn Monroe.
She is a Marilyn Monroe. You look at fucking Candy Darling, she looks like fucking Marilyn Monroe.
She really does.
Look at her death picture. It's fucking stupid.
I can't believe she's one
of those gorgeous, beautiful, like.
I can't believe she was dying and she looks so much better than me in everyday life.
Darling died of lymphoma on March 21st, 1974, at age 29. She died at the Columbia University Medical Center. So she sent out a letter to all of the people that she loved before she died because she was prepared and she was extra.
Guess what?
What?
I just read that Tina Turner is also planning to do the same thing.
I'm sorry. No one does it better than Candy Darling.
Because you've read this to me and it's goddamn gorgeous.
So she sent out a letter to all of her loved ones and I'm going to read the letter to you now. Unfortunately, before my death, I had no desire left for life. Even with all my friends and all my career on the upswing, I felt too empty to go on in this unreal existence. I am just so bored by everything. You might say, bored to death. It may sound ridiculous, but it's true. I have arranged my own funeral arrangements with a guest list, and it's paid for.
I love the guest list.
I love to say goodbye to Jackie Curtis. I think you're fabulous. Holly, Sam Green, a true friend and a noble person. Ron Link, I'll never forget you. Andy Warhol, what can I say? Paul Morrissey, Lenny, you know I loved you. Andy, you too. Jeremiah, don't take it too badly. Just remember, I was a bitch. Geraldine, I guess you saw it coming. Richard Turley and Richard Gould. I know I could have been a star, but I decided I didn't want it. Manuel, I'm better off now. Terry, I love you. Susan, I'm sorry. Did you know I couldn't last? I always knew it. I wish I could meet you all again. Her funeral, held at Franklin E. Campbell Funeral Chapel, was attended by huge crowds. Julie Newmar.
Chuang Fu!
Read the eulogy. Darlene's birth name was never spoken by the minister or anyone at the eulogy.
I love that.
Yep. Faith Dane played a piano piece and Gloria Swanson saluted Darlene's coffin. Darlene was cremated and her ashes were scattered by Jeremiah Newton in the Cherry Valley Cemetery in Cherry Valley, New York, which is a village at the foot of Catskill Mountains.
I always hate it when they're cremated. Sid Vicious is also cremated, and I'm always like,
I just want to say goodbye.
I know. It's like, I want to visit, and I can't.
I'm going to a body farm. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. And everyone gets to see you.
Rachel's so mad about it.
Why? You get to see it happen.
Yeah, you want
to. Like, look at her. Fucking rotten. I'm like, look how stupid she looks. You know that's going to be me.
So... Darlene and her friend Taffy are paid tribute to in the chorus line of the 1967 song by the Rolling Stones, Citadel. Darlene is the subject of the song Candy Says in the opening track of The Velvet Underground, which, by the way, she was pretty much all of what The Velvet Underground wrote about was candy.
Listen.
So, candy.
Listen, I've got a Velvet Underground song. You've got a couple of Velvet Underground songs. Needless to say, on this playlist, there's going to be some Velvet Underground.
So, the second verse of Lou Reed's 1972 Walk on the Wild Side is devoted to Darlene. She was featured on the album cover for one of the Smiths albums, or for their single, Sheila Takes a Bow. And she's portrayed, because I have to bring this up, by Willem Belli in the 2011 HBO film Cinema Verita, which Willem is a drag race performer who I have to bring up because Nina West is on Drag Race this year and I'm very excited about it. Columbus is representing. So that is Candy Darlin. She's fucking amazing. She really went out as she came in. She told people, this is me. I'm Candy.
I'm not going to stop it.
And her mother was even like, nah.
I can't stop this.
Nah, can't do that. And then she went out and was like, you know what? Worship me. I'm going to have a fucking photographer come into my death scene. Worship me.
She's perfect.
So my person of the month. Let me just preference this by saying, like, you know who I'm going to talk about. And you know that she's fucking perfect.
Because I was going to pick her also.
And I was worried that you were going to pick her. I mean, and then I was going to be like, who am I going to pick? My woman of the month is the most beautiful, truly scrumptious.
Oh, she's perfect.
She is wonderful for Factor Girl. She is the it girl.
As a matter of fact, you can ask Casey when I was going to do this because he said, like, what are you doing this month? And I was like, I don't want to tell you too much, but I will tell you it's my birth month. So, like, we're going to do Factory Girl. And he was like, I already know you're going to do Edie Sedgwick. And you're probably going to pick Truly Scrumptious. And I didn't.
I'm so glad that you didn't. Because, like, didn't. She's so perfect. Like, she is.
She is a Factory
Her
Girl.
Her tagline is, the paper doll that cuts like a knife.
Paper doll and that cuts like a knife, baby.
She is a paper doll, though. She does, like, anime and all of that sort of thing. She reminds me of an It Girl. Like, if Columbus had an It Girl, she would be an It Girl.
100%.
She's stunning. She stands
the
like
makeup.
A,
The way she looks, she's tall. She's
an
built.
Amazon.
She's beautiful.
She's an Amazon.
Her butt.
But also, she's
I want to
so,
nap on it.
But also, like, she's so artistic and so beautiful. And I went and saw her art piece, and it made me cry. And it was beautiful. And she's got a lot of emotion behind everything that she does.
And that's the thing, too, about the Factory Girls. I feel like people overlook is that
they gave everything.
They are artistic. They're not just placed
you know
there because they're pretty.
Everything. And you
they're
know
placed
that.
There because they're fucking talented as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Edie was a sculptor. Candy was an actress.
Yep.
It's like you
Candy
cannot
was an actress that wouldn't get looks for acting parts because she was trans.
Yes. And you have to look at that like, okay, what is it that you're overcoming? She is truly... I've known her for years and years, as you have.
Oh, yeah.
She has overcome so much, and she's
an amazing...
Awesome.
She's an amazing dancer. She's an amazing artist. She's an amazing actress. She's just a wonderful human being.
She is.
Like, honestly, fantastic and sweet as pie, and just never stops. She never stops.
She never stops, and I'm glad that we did this, actually, the week after... Because we did record this again before. But since then, I've had a show with her. Okay, where she danced with our band. Okay, she danced with Electric
Circus. Oh, that,
circus.
Like, the crazy stuff that she did for that.
The spirally thing.
Yeah, the
like
psychedelic
okay,
spirally.
Okay, so yeah. So she ate sunscreen. Like, she ate
I
sunscreen.
I know this isn't a visual.
You can't see it.
Art.
But she,
she's like...
She, for one of the numbers, called, it's a song that we do, as a band called Melanoma, and she performed it in, like, a 1920s kind of striped swimsuit with a striped umbrella.
And striped glasses, right?
Like the hypnotic kind of circular glasses, and she, pulled a hot dog out of her vagina area and ate the hot dog. And then out of her, like, somewhere, I don't know, because I was behind her. I was performing as a band. She pulled out a little bottle of sunscreen. And she fucking ate the sunscreen, right? And the crowd was just like, what the fuck just happened? I don't understand. But that's what she does.
She does. And, like, everything she does tells a story.
Everything.
And whether or not you're there for the story, like, you may have to watch it multiple times to be there for the story, but mm-hmm. everything she does tells a story, and she's an amazing performer, and she's, like...
She's a real-life cartoon.
She is a real-life cartoon. She is perfect as an It Girl.
She is.
Yeah, she's amazing, and we love her.
Her look is perfect.
Everything.
Her attitude is perfect.
Yes.
Her voice is perfect.
Yep.
She's perfect.
She is perfect. So, this month, I'm all about that Truly Scrumptious. By the way, guys, we're not going to be really around for next month. We're going to release some stuff. It's going to be a little different than what we normally release.
It's going to be a drunken me interviewing people about their moms or their mom figures. But here's the thing. One.
But here's the thing.
Either join us at Betty LaRue's bachelorette party, which you have to be invited to, because if we don't know you, it'll be weird. But if I don't know you, you're listening, and you happen to be on it, because you're at the karaoke night, then fucking rad. If not, please email us or Twitter us. Tweet us?
Tweet us. Twitter us. Tweet us.
Tweet us.
Tweet us. That sounds good. I like
Facebook us.
Or
Instagram us. Please Instagram us pictures of your mom. Tell us your stories about your mom, your stepmoms, your adopted moms, your grandmoms.
You should probably share us your pictures of your moms, because if we share it, then Hall & Oates might like it. Your mom would have a picture that Hall & Oates liked.
Listen, Hall & Oates has liked one of our pictures, So if your mother figure, whether it be a neighbor that gave you cookies after school, whether it be a detention teacher that you just happened to like, so you just kept getting detention, who the fuck cares? Either way, share us your mom's stories, and Hall & Oates might like it. And we're going to share a Hall & Oates picture from now on, forever and ever.
Ever and ever. Ready?
I love you, Oates.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
What should they do?
Smear lipstick.
Raise hoes.
Have a good night.